That's an easy way to start making money very quickly. There's obviously Patreon, there's merch sales, there's songwriting services, there's sync licensing, obviously streaming, which is like a joke.
Adam Ivey, American music producer,
award-winning creative marketing specialist, founder of sellmusic.com.
He's making tens of thousands of dollars a month off streaming. The people that build wealth from their music careers, it's not actually from the music, it's usually from the opportunities that the music or the money that they're building.
Every one of those artists like Jay-Z and Rihanna, they use their music as a stepping stone to launch their brand that makes them the real money.
I think you're going to see a whole different side of Adam Ivey that's never been shared with the world before. Now, inside this insightful conversation, we're talking all about fan monetization. He's made hundreds and hundreds of videos about follower growth on Instagram and streaming growth on Spotify. But has he ever talked about how to make money from your community and how to live in a profit off your art? This is the conversation we're going to have today. And I hope it serves you well to realize this one important detail. Start now. Don't wait until you hit an imaginary target and then you monetize your audience. Begin today with the fans you have right now and let them be a part of the music and you'll grow together. This is episode one from season two of the All About the Music Industry interviews, where I speak to CEOs, high-level executives, and marketeers about their specialism within the music industry. You can build your dream team as an artist from the gems that they drop. I'm so thankful that you're here, and I cannot wait to get into all the amazing guests we have lined up over the next couple of months. But without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Adam Ivey. I think I put out a video about two, three weeks ago, about seven different revenue streams that I could think of. Can you give me a couple of your favorites for musicians at that grassroots level to make an income selling their voice, selling their skill sets, selling their art? What can they do to make money in your eyes?
I mean, we could run through them. I mean, there's always busking, you know, street performing. Obviously, some places you need a permit and stuff, so look into that. That's an easy way to start making money very quickly. I'm not saying a lot of money, but who knows, depending on where you're living or performing. Then there's obviously Patreon, there's merch sales, there's songwriting services, there's sync licensing, obviously streaming, which is like a joke. If somebody's looking at that as their number one revenue generation stream, that's like being a golf coach and thinking that you're going to make the most money washing people's golf balls. It's like, takes kind of a naive individual. I'm not going to call him an idiot, but takes kind of a naive individual thinking that streaming numbers are supposed to be their meal, right? I always refer to Spotify as the ranch dressing or the blue cheese that you dip the buffalo wings into. It's not why you go to the restaurant. It's just part of it, right? It's like a afterthought. But when it comes to, think about this, man. If you have a Patreon and you have 2,000 people in the world giving you $5 a month for an entire year, you're making $120,000 gross, $120,000 a year off of $5 contributions from 2,000 people worldwide. Where you're sitting, where I'm sitting, I promise within a half a mile or a mile, there are 2,000 people. I think that people think of that number as like this massive, like 2,000, what, 2,000? It's not really that many people. And $5 a month really isn't that crazy of a contribution, but what are you providing them?
Yes.
Because you should be providing them with $50, $100, $500 worth of value every single month. That could be insights, that could be behind the scenes, that could be unreleased tracks, that could be custom tracks, that could be Zoom calls, Zoom performances, that could be live performances, that could be fill in the blank. But you are an entertainer. You are a personality. You are a brand, not just, oh, I have the song about this breakup I went through 6 months ago. And I think that if you've ever been through a breakup, that like you've never heard a song like this before. And it's like the same generic shit that everybody sings about.
Everyone.
So, you know, everyone. And that's okay. But that's why the streaming numbers shouldn't matter as much. Now, you got guys like Nick D, who I'm going up to have a conversation with here in the next 2-3 weeks. You know, he's making tens of thousands of dollars a month off streaming because he's built everything else around it to push people to streaming. People think that they build the streaming and they come back. It's not that way. Streaming is like the beach where the water washes up on the sand. Everything that you're doing to get that attention is the ocean that's making that momentum to push people to the beach, not standing on the beach trying to push the ocean back into itself. Doesn't work.
Your metaphors are amazing. Let's just please highlight this. But I fully agree. I think the way I'm perceiving this nuance, I want to stay on the Patreon thing for a second, because the value exchange that people provide is weak. They'll say things like, I'll give you my song early, but no one wants it in the first place. They'll say things like, I'll do a monthly listening party, and then they themselves flop on that promise to deliver what people were paying for, and they wonder why no one subscribed in the first place or people unsubscribed. Because if you can consistently keep that value, you'll consistently attract new patrons or whatever the platform is, OnlyFans, anything else, and you'll consistently 100%. Get deeper engagement with the people who are paying. And then you create, without complicating life, multiple tiers of entry where they start at the bottom and want to pay more to rise the ranks. Producers and singers and any artists that you work with using Patreon right now?
I mean, Patreon is a great way to get people in that are already raving fans, because think about it this way. A lot of people would laugh at somebody that has like 60 followers. Let's say you have 25% of that following, so 15 people really care about your stuff because you're having conversations with them, you're going live, you're commenting on their stuff. 15 people at $5 a month, I'm bad at math, that's $75 a month, right? Mm-hmm. So how many streams would you have in order to equal $75? A whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Right? So, because like a million streams is around $4,000. So if you break that in half, 100,000 streams is now $400. You break that in half, and that's $50,000 at $200. Yeah. So you would need essentially 20,000 to 25,000 streams. And my math might be way off. I'm freestyling
I'm not great with numbers. I'm following you. Exactly.
So you need an astronomical, especially getting started. Like if you're already doing it a long time, like 25,000 streams is nothing. But when you're first getting started and you're looking up at that mountain, it looks like 25,000 is at the top of that mountain.
Yes.
But you don't realize once you start climbing, you're going to reach it faster than you thought. Like I have a student named Connor who, with like 1,400 followers, was making over $200 a month on Patreon. Like,
that's fantastic.
But you have, like you said, you have to follow through on your promise and over deliver, not just do the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is that people want to treat 12 people like dog shit and then all of a sudden care and be sweet when it's 12,000 people. You have to treat 12 people like they are 12,000, because once you hit 12,000, there's no way you're going to have a genuine connection with that many people, and you're going to miss the opportunity to really build that army.
100%. This is one of my favorite Skepta lyrics, is the same as you just said. Treat 25 people the same as 25,000.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And I think what I'm definitely deducing from this is you start brick by brick. I think many people, like we pre-teed up at the beginning, was like they wait until they've got to milestone before they launch the Patreon, rather than saying, I'm starting this Patreon while there's no one here, so that while I grow, you guys grow with me, and you're my loyal fan bases. And so,
well, and think about this real quick, not to interrupt. So many people will put all this time and effort into making music, and it's all, they're using all their time, money, resources. They go to a fancy studio, they record this single or maybe an EP or maybe a full length album, and then they're ready to release it. They release it to crickets, and then wonder why it didn't work, wonder why they're not making money, and then they feel depressed. They fall into even more self-doubt. It's like, think about it this way. If you're in an auditorium and you're playing for 100 people, so let's say the auditorium holds 1,000 people, you're playing for 100, so it's kind of like spread out, and you're playing your heart out to those 100 people versus playing all out to an empty auditorium. That's why those first 100 matter so much. And you should be fighting for their attention. You should be excited to share it with the world. If you look at people that are highly political, highly religious, highly cause-based individuals, you can't get them to shut up about what they're passionate about, what they care about, what they think. All they want to talk about is their thing. yet as musicians, we have a thing and we're afraid to talk about it. We're afraid to share it because we don't want judgment. And I think it's Alex Hormozi who said this. I'm not trying to rip him off, but he said, it's not the failure that you're afraid of. It's the rejection that you feel when everybody else tells you you're a failure. I'm probably butchering that. But it's not the failure itself. It's not posting it to Spotify and nobody listening. It's the person saying, oh, are you still doing that little music thing? How many people are actually listening? Or, oh, I found your music. It'd be cool if somebody actually heard this.
No doubt. I think this is the problem in society, though, because we're so worried about that conversation of the relative mm-hmm. saying, you're still doing that little music thing, that yeah. we don't bother trying. Instead of saying, I'm going to prove them wrong with everything I've got. And money and success are two of those biggest things. One of the very best ways in the industry to share the bag and all eat together is Splits by DistroKid. And I want to tell you a little bit about the service they offer to help pay all the other featuring artists, collaborators, managers, graphic designers, videographers, and anyone on your team who deserves a slice of the pie. Within Splits by DistroKid, they can set up their own account to get paid into their wallet. And with your master control, you can choose the percentage they get of all revenue from one song or all the songs in an EP. And using this, we can make sure that everyone gets paid fairly from their involvement in the art. I think that's one of the best ways that the industry can have transparency about how artists can work together in a collaborative way. I'm a huge fan of DistroKid. I've been partnered with them for over a year. I'm so grateful they've sponsored this entire season 2 of the podcast. And so if you want to join the family, you can get started using my link for a 7% discount off your first year. And that link is distrokid.com/VIP/allaboutHelping. Huge love, as always, to the family at DistroKid for empowering artists and paving the way with digital tools. And you'd made this one wicked video when you basically broke down 0 to 100K a year from leasing beats.
Oh, yeah.
And what I loved about that video is, A, you began with brand. That was what the standout thing. Then you broke down the economics of almost like daily number of DMs, daily number of sales. You stacked daily into monthly, monthly into annually. And I loved the mathematical approach of that video. Can you give us like the highlights of that, if you can remember some of the numbers from what you did on BeatStars and SongTrader back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day, it was actually a website called SoundClick. I sold a few, actually quite a bit of leases through Airbit, which was, it used to be called something else, my flash store. I've never really been, like, when I was really killing it, I wasn't using BeatStars. I think I had an account, but I wasn't, that wasn't my jam. When I was selling beats online for full time, the numbers that you're referring to are 50 to 75 leases a week at $24.99 on average. And then every single month, I would also liquidate or sell off exclusive rights, which ranged from 250 all the way up to, I think, like the most I ever really charged for exclusives were $2,500, $3,000 for independent, not talking label stuff. But when it comes to the numbers there, you know, 50 to 75 leases per week at, let's say, $25 ranges, you know, annually to somewhere between $600,000 and $900,000 just on leases alone. Gross, obviously, you got to pay taxes and stuff. So that plus the exclusive sales, plus all the different side hustles and, you know, custom beat orders and collaborations and stuff, that trickled up and adds up with those revenue streams. It's a six-figure income from the comfort of my pajama pants sitting at home, you know? So, but I was flipping obsessive about it. Nobody could, especially in that pocket of time, nobody could outwork me. I would tell, you know, girlfriends back then, hey, if you don't like the way I'm, just go do your own thing. This is what I'm focused on. So
Can we go granular? So that just
absolutely
flipping 75 leases a week, was it getting high SEO rankings on your artist profile on SoundClick? Was it outbound DMs? Like, what were some of the tactical things? Forget strategy. Go deep into tactical.
Sure.
To get a sale through, how did you nurture the sale? All of the details, please.
Yeah, so I started completely organically. I would reach out to 50 to 100 people a day via DMs. And back then it was Facebook, Twitter, a little bit of Instagram. I started getting into that, even trying to reach out to people that would comment on some of my YouTube videos and just be like, hey, you know, let me shoot you something and go from there, right? Let's get really granular here. So those conversations, if you look at sending 50 DMs a day, and you're hoping for a 10% conversion, then five people out of those 50 people would have a conversation. Then during the week, 5 times 7, 35 decent conversations on average, hope to convert those to about 10 to 15 sales, but it stacks. Yep. And from there, from that traffic, you start ranking higher on these sites. Once I figured that out, I would take a percentage of all my sales. And instead of, this was like the hack back in the day. So on SoundClick, they have a Beats and Instrumentals promo that you could buy. Back then it was $120 a day. Well, through some conversations and testing myself, I realized that if I spent $30, $20, $40 on all these subgenres, gospel, spoken word, country, even jazz, the numbers would still come in. It would still rank me, right? So for a vast majority of 4 or 5 year stretch, I was in the top 50 all the time on SoundClick, which drastically increased my traffic. I don't remember what my total traffic was. I don't even want to say a number because I don't want to grossly exaggerate, but it's like millions of streams, millions of people. And then one thing that I was hyper focused on is service after the sale, or keeping that relationship healthy. Because what I would do is now I'd ask, hey, what are you working on? Hey, I'd love to hear an early draft of this. I'd love to, you know, collaborate on something in the future. And then those people would buy more and more and more. I'm not talking like just, you know, exponential or anything like that. But I would say, I don't have the numbers in front of me. This is a while ago. But out of 10 customers, 7 of them would buy again. Like that's how much we would talk in the DMs and kind of become buddies. So I don't want to say friends, but like, you know, familiar with one another. And so that was the hustle. And then obviously collaborating with other producers on occasion and splitting the income. So now your song is on theirs and it's on yours as well. So you have a little bit more visibility there. But yeah, man, I mean, there's so many ways to make money with music, but it all usually stems back to how you deliver it and what people's experiences with you or the creator, not just, oh, I found this sick beat. I mean, it does happen. Don't get me wrong. People find a beat that they like, they buy. But unless they like that person and the experience that they had, it's not like they're just going to become best friends with somebody because they had one hot beat, because there's so much saturation in the market right now for that.
I think one of the ways that you've explained 50 to 100 DMs a day,
yeah,
the majority of artists do not have the discipline to maintain for more than 3 days. They would do it on one day. They would do it on Tuesday. That's Wednesday, right. They'd skip a day. Thursday, they'd quit. You built this beautiful the Google spreadsheet.
That's it.
Go through that as well, please. There's how you lay that out with the columns and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. It's been a while, man. I believe I originally built it out in like a cracked version of Excel for Mac, you know, like the Windows suite for Mac or Office suite for Mac. And what I would do is, I think when I set out, I'm like a time horizon guy. So if I say I'm going to shoot 2 YouTube videos for a year, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to say, no, I said a year. If I'm going to go to the gym every day for a month, I'm going to go to the gym every day for a month, unless I get really sick or something happens. So I think when I started DMing that many people, I got really sick of eating ramen noodles, eggs, and tuna out of the can because I was super broke. So I'm talking ridiculously broke. And I was sick of it. And I always believe in the time money ratio. If you don't have the money, you should certainly have the time. So I would, and the thing is, people are like, it's so many people. If I DM 5 people an hour over the course of a 10-hour day, how long do you think it takes me to DM somebody? Let's even say like 5 minutes. So out of every hour, I'm spending 25 minutes. I still have 35 minutes remaining to do other things. And you become very efficient. I wasn't the copy paste guy. I would go to their tweets. I'd go through their posts. I'd go through their grid on their Instagram, and I'd pick up on something that I was interested in. hey, bro, I just saw that you got the new Grand Theft Auto. I mean, back then it would have been probably PlayStation 2 or 3. You know, how are you liking the expansion packs for that? Are you getting into that, or like Call of Duty or something, or sports or fitness or cars or fill in the blank that I'm interested in? So I'd start these conversations and I wouldn't even bring up the fact that I was a producer until like a couple back and forths into it. So my spreadsheet would look something along the lines of username, platform, real name. I called it like legal name, but it was just like whatever name they would have on their bio. And then genre of artist, you know, hip hop, pop, neo soul, R&B, whatever. And then I'm trying to remember like very calculated what I would say. There was a color code. It would be like initial reach out. Have they replied? I had 5 or 6 different colors and I broke it down in that video. I had to go back and reference some of it. So it was a way for me to look very quickly and say, oh, all of these reds are follow-ups, or all these reds, I think I had red as like haven't followed up yet. And then I would send another cold email if they're a cold message, if they didn't get back to me with something else kind of quirky. And so the way I did this is I was able to prospect. I was able to bring people as kind of like cold traffic, right? So I'm going after this cold traffic. I'm trying to nurture the cold traffic into a conversation, see what their buying intent or their need is. And then from there, I can quickly reference the spreadsheet and say, okay, A, I got through my 50 today, or I did 62 and I don't feel like doing it anymore today. And I actually had 6 people respond yesterday, which is awesome, or more than that. And then this person I've sent links to, that's what one of the codes was, I've sent beats to or sent links to, have they responded? And then there was a follow-up date column. And then there was a, if they purchased, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then I could go back and I added them back in the day. I'm not using it anymore, but I still think it's a great platform, MailChimp. Mm-hmm. So I've been using MailChimp since they were like brand new. And MailChimp obviously allows you to segment. Back in the day, the free version, you could segment, you could send pretty much unlimited emails up to 2,000 contacts. And so like I was utilizing the crap out of the free one. And by the time I had to pay, I was making money, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as I hit the 2,000 contacts, I was already making plenty enough to pay the little, you know, $10, $20 a month. Yeah. And so I realized that if I would give away beat packs, drum kits, you know, a decent lead magnet, I could grow my list. And then when I would send out emails, I could have a more personalized conversation with these people. And I've already given them something, so there's a reason to follow up. They have a little bit of familiarity with my voice. I would always try to be, and still to this day, I try to be very me. I try to be very like personality driven, not just, hey, I know you're a rapper. I know you need beats. Here's a link. 5 for $1, you know, back in the day, 25 beats for $1. Like that was never me. But the spreadsheet allowed me to stay accountable to myself. And also allowed me to track very quickly, because when you're DMing that many freaking people, it's very hard. That's another thing I had. In later spreadsheets, I had hyperlinks. So I would have a hyperlink right to their Instagram profile, right to their Facebook. And so I could click on that and then get into the messages like that, rather than having to search on a phone or, you know, type them in. So I guess it was cold outreach mixed with a ongoing refinement of a nurturing process. And then trying to genuinely bring value. So I would take a couple extra minutes and say, okay, this person's an R&B singer. I listened to 2 or 3 of their songs on SoundCloud, or, you know, it wasn't even really Spotify back then. It was like Pandora, SoundCloud, mm-hmm. YouTube. And I would go and I'd say, oh, these beats, or what they're choosing for their beat selection aligns with what I have. And then I would send them specific beats, say, hey, I just finished a load of beats. I just finished a dozen beats this last month, and I picked out 3 that I think really suit you. I'd love for you to jump on these. Wow. And then I would send them like a personalized link for those individual beats. Usually try to embed them right into the email so that they could play it or you know, get something to pop up. But yeah, I mean, it's just a grind. I mean, I was doing it. You know, my schedule back then was wake up when I wake up, work all day until I'm no longer productive, fall asleep and do it again. There was no frills. It wasn't sexy. But I made more money than most producers that, you know, have way better beats than mine, just because I was doing the business side of things that a lot of people overlook.
Bro, no one even realizes how much game you just dropped there. Second of all is I love the systemized approach, because your intelligence and the way you maneuvered through that is what carried you through to stacking away from the pain of the ramen and the can of tuna towards a profitable business, because you were so motivated by what sounds like a clear destination, getting away from the pain, that you would put in that grind for 10 hours, do it all again the next day for 10 hours, for as long as it took to buy that purple Lamborghini. You feel ready to monetize your fan base, but you don't yet know how to build one, then I'd be delighted to welcome you inside the 100K Hitmaker community. This is a mastermind of rappers, singers, and even some managers across all different genres, from rap to reggaeton to country to metal to house music. And I teach these artists social media storytelling tactics that grow their streams of their music. And this is done entirely organically without any paid ads, that I teach you the different content ideas that tell a story to your audience. And through this method, you begin to stack your catalog of streams. Not just getting one tune to hundreds of thousands of plays, but consistently building brick by brick to grow a catalog of multiple songs to multiple 10,000s of streams. And when you do this consistently, you start to unlock a predictable revenue payout from Spotify. And I'd be delighted to help you inside this community. Hit the link below to find out more about the 100K Hitmaker community, and I'd be delighted to welcome you in and coach you every single week.
When it comes to artists, I think, you know, the old, slightly cringeworthy saying of money like speed is so true, and musicians have so much self-doubt, a lot of them, myself included, when I first started. You're like waiting for a feeling of being worthy to make money, being worthy to charge, being worthy to put yourself out there. And I think that in today's day and age, it's not about having millions of streams and millions of followers. It's about having a core group of people that really jam with you. And I think we live in a society where you understand that money goes a long way. If somebody gives you $5 a month on a Patreon, or buys a t-shirt or a vinyl, or even streams your stuff, you know, loyally, I think that we have to go out and say it's not a real business until you're making money with the music. So how do you make the money, and how do you do it in an ethical way that makes you feel good about what you're doing with the ratio of value that you're giving compared to what they're coming out of pocket for? So one thing I would say is a mistake that I see all the time is people waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and never pulling the trigger on trying to make money, trying to generate revenue for themselves, their family, their career.
I often put it down to expectation. And the dream that an artist has is, I'll make an offer, thousands of people will take me up on it. I'll put up a snippet of a music video, thousands of people will go to it. I'll put out a clothing line, it will sell out instantly. And I think people see the anomaly and think it is the regular, and they don't have the longevity to put in that grind, that strategy, that determination, that quantity as well, to make it happen. And they're very quick to knock something, saying, I tried selling beats, it didn't work. I tried selling merch, it didn't work. I tried X, it fucked up. And it pisses me off in every part of my body, because guys like you and I were built of pure determination. Like, you cannot tell someone like me, you won't be able to do it, because I will spend the rest of my life proving someone like that wrong. And that takes a real hustler to know a real hustler, I think.
Yeah, I think so too, man. I think that, you know, we live in a day and age where people are very cynical. People want to, they're out for self. So just because something didn't work for them in that moment, in their, you know, season, they're like, oh, it can't work for anybody. I mean, I bring up the example all the time, like, you could pay for a gym membership for a year, pay for a personal trainer, and if you're not in great shape at the end of the year, it's not the gym's fault. The gym's not a scam. If you go and pay somebody to take Spanish lessons because you're going to be traveling to, you know, fill in the blank, Dominican Republic, Spain, Puerto Rico, whatever, Mexico, and you want to learn how to speak Spanish, and after 2 months, you are not a fluent Spanish speaker, does that make Spanish a scam? Does that make a Spanish teacher a con artist or a charlatan? No. If you pay for a warranty for your vehicle, and through the grace of God, you don't have to use it, does that make the warranty a scam? No. People like to look at what they're going to get out of something without knowing what it's going to take to get there. And so I think that a lot of people romanticize, and we could talk about this all day, they romanticize the fact that the music should be all that matters. The music is what should, you know, garner their success, their talent, their skill, their vision. It's never been about the music. It has never been about the music. In the days of Beethoven, I'm sure there was somebody going around town telling everybody about it. Guess what? That's marketing.
Fully agree. I think it either comes from a place of judgment or a place of desperation where they don't want to be perceived by their audience as I'm begging it or I'm trying to con people or no one's going to pay me, so why should I even ask? I think many artists self-sabotage their own success, and if they just gave it a go, something would trickle in, and then you perfect that recipe over time. But I think many are too afraid to start. Would you kind of agree with that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, just like I said, I think that a lot of artists think to themselves, who am I to put myself out there? Who am I to think that I'll have fans? I'm not special. I'm not a big name. I don't have the crazy music videos and a ton of music out. They think that the people they look up to, they feel like they need to be paralleled with that success in order to feel worthy. But if you start bodybuilding and you're looking up to people that have won time after time, and then 6 months in, instead of looking at how much progress you've made, you're looking at how far away you still are from that person will never succeed. You have to use that as a motivator, not something that's going to hold you back and make you feel unworthy. I think it's so common, though, for people to feel as if they're in the audience with everybody else. You know, I talk about it all the time. We have to build a following. Well, you don't have a following if you're not a leader. If you're not leading that following, they're not following anybody. They're just a person, just a random username floating around on the internet or on one of these platforms. So you have to understand, you have to develop leadership skills, and that's not hiring and firing and being HR and knowing all the employment policies, nothing like that. I mean, maybe if you're building a business, but when it's the business of you, the business of your music, you have to lead people into their experience with you, the party that they get to join every time they're coming on social media, every time they're finding you, your music on Spotify, your music videos on YouTube, for example, or even just talking back and forth, just text-based on Twitter or what have you, even LinkedIn for that matter.
Fully, I think the biggest thing I'm hearing from you here, it's about people knowing, liking, and trusting you. Because if you build that brand, as you've always talked about since you've begun, it's everything starts with this identity of who you are, what you deliver, why you exist. And then people, for lack of a better word, follow that journey. Then they become fans of that journey. And then they want to be a part of the action. And then you've been teaching that from the very beginning.
Well, that's what a personal brand is, right? A personal brand, if you look at anybody from Alex Rodriguez is a good example of it. Baseball player, now businessman, on Shark Tank, and anything he touches turns to gold. I mean, I'm sure that he's had failed business ventures too, like everybody. But, you know, Jay-Z, Rihanna, I mean, fill in the blank. The people that build wealth from their music careers are not, it's not actually from the music, usually. It's usually from the opportunities that the music or the money that they're building. You can get rich without being wealthy. So we have to look at how to do that with our personal brand so that, like you said, like, no, trust. If somebody says, oh, Adam has integrity, Adam is always pretty genuine with what he says, everything that Adam has recommended over the years, I've tried and I've liked. Adam's not just trying to kick me to the new hot thing to make a few dollars. Like, that's the trust long-term. If that person jumps from music to entrepreneurship to, you know, YouTuber or whatever, I feel like I could stay in their realm and we could stay relevant with one another and build that passive friendship, that passive relationship that's going to generate the conversions, it's going to generate the traffic, it's going to generate referrals, it's going to have that brand loyalty to where, yeah, there's other people that are always going to pop up, there's people that always fall off, but who are you to this person? Are you reliable? Are you relatable? Are you somebody that they, like you said, like, no, trust? And from there, you can go any direction you want with your career. I think I'm living proof of it. I did music full time for 8 years. A little bit longer on both. I mean, I still make music, but not like I used to, from going deaf in my left ear in 2016, kind of changes things. But I shifted over into education. I've had a successful, you know, fitness apparel brand, even though I wasn't a fitness influencer. I've had a platform, you know, for music producers to sell their beats online. I've had a tech company. So when you understand how to build momentum within the attraction, within the audience traffic, then you understand how to nurture that and turn it into conversions, turn it into customers, turn it into raving fans, turn it into people in a community that actually care about you and really jam with you and want to see you shine. That's the secret sauce right there. The person I was at 18 is not the person I was at 28, is not the person I am today at 38. And you have to do it for fulfillment. You have to do it for your passion. You have to do it for feeling something about what you're putting out into the world. And you have to feel good about it, which isn't always easy. Trust me, wasn't always easy when I was selling beats to rappers that I was like, you're not very good. But making the sale, I didn't have to... At that point, I needed the money because I was getting eviction notices every 2 months. And then you hope I could be the person that gave this person a beat that he really liked. And 10 years from now, he might be really good and remember me and his journey of like, wow, you had a good conversation with me when I was a nobody, when I sucked. Because I sucked when I started. Everybody sucks when they start. So, you know, I have an online course and all this stuff, and people, you know, when I open the doors for the online course, people are like, you'll just let anybody in. When's the last time a personal trainer pushed somebody away for being fat?
Mm.
There needs to be a transformation. If you could be part of that transformation, it's a tool. If somebody doesn't know how to make cabinetry, you're not going to say, I'm not going to sell you woodworking tools. So this is the type of thing. You have to be a transformation in somebody's life or a part of the story along the way. I want to be able to bump into people and have an impact on their life, whether it's from education, whether it's changing their perspective, whether it's an uplifting conversation, whether it's being very rude to them blatantly on YouTube as a stranger to light a fire under them to actually make a change.
Agreed.
And actually read all those books that they bought or actually dive into the course that they paid for, even if it's not mine.
I can't even express how much I agree with everything you've just said there, because the artists who buy but don't take action and complain why it didn't work, and we've mentioned that. One of my favorite metaphors is that moment in Batman where he's trying to crawl out of the prison and he asks, how did the little girl do it? And they said that by cutting the rope. And that is the only way in life things work, is when you get rid of the safety net. And music is not your backup plan, it's your plan A.
When you
have no backup, I'll just go to my day job. Oh, I'll just make some money any other way. When you really deep it, and music is your one chance and your one escape, you put everything into it, it always clicks through.
And the thing is, it opens doors. Like I said, I think it's a little foolish, and I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with this. I think it's a little foolish to think that when you find success in music, you made it. You're good. You have a pocket. There's a shelf life, a very short shelf life. What are you going to do with that opportunity, that spotlight, that moment? Are you just going to, I feel like I'm in the beginning of that Eminem song. What would you do with one opportunity? No, but when you have that momentum and that attention, what are you going to do with it? How many people go viral on TikTok and never have a second hit, never do anything with it? How many people post a snippet of a song or a first verse of a cover? It blows up and they're waiting 3 or 4 months before they release the perfect version because they wanted to make sure that their audience wasn't disappointed by the video and the quality. Meanwhile, what went viral was them singing in a bathroom with phone audio.
Yep.
They overthink and then they slow themselves down. You can have, how many people have won Grammys that are now working normal day jobs? How many people have had hits that are now working normal day jobs? A whole lot of them. In fact, most of them. Because a Grammy is based on what you did, not what you're going to do. The money is based on what you did, not what you're going to do, aside from a loan or an advance, which is a whole different story. So we have to stop looking at the milestones as being the finish line, and the milestones are really a starting point for a new elevation, and just start figuring out how you're going to step your way up to an opportunity. Maybe you want to get into real estate. Maybe you want to provide for your family and pay off your house and not have any debt. and be able to kind of be a nomad and not be under the thumb of anybody financially, right?
Well, just jump in there, because every one of those artists, like Jay-Z and Rihanna and every artist, they use their music as a stepping stone to launch their brand that makes them the real money.
Absolutely.
Even the likes of Conor McGregor, The Rock, Huda Beauty, all these other people, they do a business to get them to start their next business. And that's the lucrative one, I think, in many ways.
1,000%. I think that it's silly. Because, like, musicians don't look at themselves as athletes, but they are. But musicians love to say that they're pursuing a music career because it makes them feel important. It makes them feel seen. It makes them feel part of something that they're not actually a part of.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think it all comes down to the willingness, comes down to the hunger, the strategy, and the tactics. And I think you've outlined it all in this clip. So I wanted to thank you big time, my friend,
for
coming on here, debut guest of season two. Like, that means the world. We definitely got to have you back again one time. We have a million other topics we can unpack. I know that for sure.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, well, we've been talking for over an hour already. It feels like it's been 15, 20 minutes. And yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. You know, you're doing great things for the community as well. You know, you're a kind of a young whippersnapper compared to me at this point. But I love the ambition and the hunger that I see in what you're doing. And anything I can do to try to provide value to your community. And I know that our goals are very, very similar, or they parallel in most ways. If we can move people into momentum, if we can move people into seeing results and starting to believe in themselves, that's half the battle.
Love, bro. That's my whole vibe, is all about helping the musicians. Where can people get a hold of you? It's obvious, because we've all been OG followers of you, but where can people connect up with you?
I appreciate that, man. If you go to musicmarketing.com, that'll take you to my YouTube channel as of right now. I'm most active on Instagram, at Adam Ivy, A-D-A-M-I-V-Y. AdamIvy.com, that needs to be desperately updated. But just shoot me a DM. You know, all my contact information is between Instagram and YouTube. But what I ask people to do is check out the free content and absorb it. Soak it up. If you don't like my delivery style, you have other options. I'm not the only person. But if you like my delivery style, I might be the person that can help you. I might be the person that finally opens your eyes. You could also listen to my podcast at Market Your Music. It's like, you know what's funny? I launched this podcast and we're like 20-something episodes in, and I think you're like the third person I've told about it. It's like one of these things where I'm like, let's dial it in a little bit more before we start promoting it and give people a catalog. But overall, I just want to get to know you guys. If, you know, you want to interact with me, come hit me up. DM on Instagram goes a long way. And yeah, man, I'm just here to help any way I can, and, you know, keep rocking and come say hi.
You're a legend, bro. A pillar of the community. Thank you big time, man. Peace.
Thank you again for the opportunity.